Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking about the recovery efforts from last summer's Donnell Fire that burned over 36,000 acres in the Stanislaus National Forest. Joined in studio this weekend by Sarah LaPlante, who is the Summit Miwok District Ranger, and Curtis Kwame, who is a soil scientist with the Bear Team. Sarah LaPlante, I'll go back to you with this next question. You know, a lot of people after the fire, when cabins were destroyed, were wondering about the possibility of rebuilding those structures. I understand some letters just started going out this week. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we had over 150 cabin owners up throughout the fire area that were affected last year. 53 of those buildings were lost in the fire. And so since the fire, we've limited their access to their sites because of fears of flooding and debris flow and hazard trees. But because we had that geologic hazard assessment that I mentioned earlier, which is very site-specific, so each individual cabin was assessed and a determination was made about whether just how safe it was for people to reoccupy or rebuild. We are in the process of notifying those cabin owners about what their status is. And so they're kind of falling into one of three categories. The vast majority of those cabins are free to go back. There's no restrictions. They can overnight at their cabins and enjoy some of their favorite spots in the National Forest. There's a second category of people where there is still some level of elevated risk, and so we've notified them what we think that risk is, whether they're in a drainage and there might be some increased flooding, and we want to make sure that they're just aware of any high runoff events, that they're really monitoring their safety. If there's rockfall in the area, we're just notifying them of that increased hazard. And then there's a very small subset of cabins that we've assessed from the Forest Service's professional standpoint that there's really some pretty high risk remaining, and so we're not allowing them to reoccupy or rebuild if they've lost their cabin, and we're asking them to, get another professional opinion on how we could mitigate and work with them so that they could either rebuild or possibly find a different location. And so we've just started notifying them this week of which category they're in.
And what is kind of the status with the Dardanelle Resort that was unfortunately lost with the fire as well?
Yeah, so Dardanelle Resort was lost in the fire, and we've been working with Jim Lewis and his partners since the resort was lost. They've actually done amazing work up there. So they've removed the debris from the fire. We expedited for all of the businesses up there affected by the fire. We've expedited some timber contracting so they could actually remove the hazard trees and rebuild quickly. So we've also been up there just in the past couple of weeks helping them burn piles from the logging activities from all of those dead trees. And they're working on their operating plan for how they might actually have some business this summer. And so we're trying to work with them as quickly as we can on getting any operations moving. And then I know that they're well in the way of actually designing a new building. And so we're really excited about what that's going to look like moving forward.
You mentioned hazard tree removal. And when it comes to timber removal and salvage logging, has there been much taking place in the fire area?
Yeah. So immediately, even during the fire and after, we were doing a lot of hazard tree dropping for firefighter safety. And then we also came in and were felling hazard trees that were imminent risk to both private and federal facilities. Since then, we've actually awarded a contract to within those recreation residence tracks, sort of those cabin tracks, to fell additional hazard trees. And so our logger is starting up there probably this week to start working on making those cabin lots safe. And then in addition, we are planning we're calling it the Donnell Salvage and Rehabilitation Project. And so that's looking at kind of a little bit beyond those recreation areas where we can recoup some of the value of burned timber and also reduce the fuels that are now standing dead around those cabin tracks. Because as people really reoccupy and start reusing the Donnell area, we want to make sure that we're reducing risk into the future.
Curtis Kwame, I'll turn back over to you as a member of the Bear Team, a soil scientist. For people who start, heading out this summer to recreate in the Donnell Fire area, what are some things safety-wise that they need to keep in mind?
Yeah, there are quite a few things, and it's a really important thing to keep on your mind for several years, not just in the Donnell Fire, but any fire that you go into. And we have plenty around, so it should be something that people are kind of keeping in the forefront of their mind all the time. So in the Donnell Fire, I think the most important thing up there is because there aren't a lot of areas that have cell phone coverage and not as good an internet access, is really check the weather forecast before you go into the fire footprint, especially if you'll be up there for a few days. So check the weather forecast. If there's any chance of thunderstorms, really try to remember what days they're coming in and the percent chance that the thunderstorms may come. So the biggest risk there is in the summer months, later in the year, you could be down on the river fishing or on in a campground or something. Those low flats along Highway 108 that will be open this summer are relatively safe in and of themselves. They're far enough removed away from the steep slopes and those high burn severity. But if a thunderstorm hits the ridgetops, either between the river drainages, we can get flooding coming down and blocking access. It may block a road, so you're not able to get out the way you came in. Or if you're actually fishing or something on one of the creeks, it may not be raining where you're standing, but if there's a thunderstorm at 2,000 feet elevation above you, those creeks can have flash floods in them very quickly. So keeping an eye on the weather forecast before you go up there is the most important thing. And specifically those hazards, to creeks is flooding, debris flow risk. Debris flows are extremely dangerous. It can carry large boulders, logs, and things that are more dangerous than just flowing water. And the mud and things that are eroded off the hill slopes that come into those channels have more energy, so they have more power to hurt you, move vehicles, and carry large debris. So they can be very dangerous, even if the likelihood of them is diminishing as we move forward here. Otherwise, the hazards, overhead hazards, hazard trees, you can still have treetops that are broken out, limbs and branches that are hanging, both in places where we've done hazard tree work or where we haven't done any tree removal yet. The hazard tree logging itself may create some branches, so even if there are clearings, keep an eye on the adjacent areas where the logging stopped right in that interface there. There could be some hazards to look out for. Otherwise, if you're hiking, if we open any of the trails later in this later this year, then that's to be determined after we assess the condition of those trails. Footing becomes an important thing. It doesn't sound like much, but stump holes and things that open up, fire can actually burn underground and burn the roots and stumps out from trees, and that'll create essentially a spot that you can fall into and trip. So if you're, travel with a buddy, keep somebody with you, and hopefully somebody knows where you are. If you're out hiking especially, you're going to be away from contact for a few days. And just be aware of your surroundings. I think that's also pretty important.
Sarah LaPlante, anything else to add on that topic?
Well, I think Curtis really kind of nailed all of the specifics of what those hazards might be. I think really our takeaway point, or one of those points really, is, since we've rolled back the restrictions on where people can go, the trails are currently closed, but you can hike off trail. We just really want to make sure that people are aware that you're really responsible for your safety and the safety of the people that you're out in the woods with. The National Forest is never perfectly safe. There's always hazards there. But given the fire, the landscape is just in a really changed condition. And so we want you to be aware of that. We want you to know what those existing hazards are, and we want you to make wise decisions. And so just want to, really remind people that that it's up to you to keep yourself and your party safe when you're out in the woods. And so we've posted signs up, and we're trying to get a lot of information out in the media and through our partners about what those risks are. But we just want to make sure that everyone takes it seriously and definitely goes out and enjoys themselves, but does it in a really safe manner.
Need to take one more break. We're talking about the Post on Elfire recovery efforts on this weekend's Motherlode Views, joined in studio by Sarah LaPlante, who is the Summit Miwok District Ranger, and Curtis Kwame, who is a soil scientist with the Burned Area Emergency Response Team. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we'll be joined in studio by Tuolumne County Administrator Tracy Riggs. She'll talk about her recent transition to the CAO's role and also a little bit about the upcoming budget process. That's next week on Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen. Again, we'll be back with our final segment in just a minute. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.